Well, good morning once again, if you were here for Sunday school. Sorry you got to look at me again for another little while. We'll try to get out of here in a decent time today. I will tell you this, if you've never been to a foreign country on a missions field, just a little insight into one of our church services in Zambia. They typically last between 6 and 8 hours. I won't do that to you today because I don't want you throwing stuff at me. But no, it is good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Celebrating our freedom this weekend. Hopefully we're celebrating it all the days of our life. There are many places around this world where we don't have the privilege or the opportunity to stand and praise the one true God. Amen. So I am proud to be from the United States of America because we still have the ability to stand up and proclaim the Word of God. And I believe that if we follow what the Word says, He calls us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, cry out to the Father, that we can continue to have those privileges and freedoms here on this earth. But we also know that this isn't our home. We are strangers and we are aliens. Some of us are more strange than others, but He has called us to be strangers and aliens into this world until one day when we all get to heaven. So I love the music. That has nothing to do with my message, but everything to do with my message, I guess. So this morning, if you would, open up the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. We're going to begin there this way. I want to talk about choosing to go God's way. You see, in the news here lately, especially in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've heard the word choice many, many times. Amen? We've heard the word choice, but it's placed in the perspective of evil. And I want to share with you this morning is that choice was never intended to be a place of evil. God gave us a choice. That choice is a gift. He placed before them life and He placed before them the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. He basically gave them one rule. Now, if you've got children in here, as I do, you know that it doesn't matter how many rules you make, your kids are going to push you right to the limit and they're going to try and disobey, which is the same thing that we did. But this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I want us to look at choosing to go God's way. We're going to begin in verse 11. And if you would stand with me, if you can, join with me as we read from the Word of God. And it says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over to the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Let's pray. God, thank you so much. First of all, for the opportunity to even have the ability to worship you. God, we know that your word says that even the rocks can cry out and proclaim, but you gave us as a gift the ability to pay back just a little in our worship and our love of what you have already given us. So God, thank you for that. God, I pray today that you send your Holy Spirit to continue to minister within this place. God, send your holy angels around to block out the hindrances of this world, the things in our life that are on our mind, the things that have yet to come for this weekend. But God, help us to focus in on your word today, that we can see you and hear your message of hope. God, I love you and thank you for all that you've done in my life, but most importantly, the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's only through his name that we can ask. Amen. Well, this morning, as we talk about choices, I think we all like choices. Amen. We like the ability to choose. My wife was sharing with me a story the other day that the question was presented: if you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life every day, what would you choose? So I want you to think about that for a minute. So if you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would that be? And the gentleman that was asked of this question, here was his response: buffet. You see, we don't want things narrowed down to a singularity. We want the ability to look and choose and go different ways. But you see, we serve the one true God. As Brother Mike had shared with us this morning, we serve, there is one God. See, in Zambia, they teach that there's all of these other gods, and one of the challenges that we face as they begin to choose which God to serve is so many of them, they will listen to the message of hope that we bring about the message of the one true God, but they just want to add in the background and then put the one true God on a shelf, and that is not what God has called us to do. The Bible says that there is one way to salvation, amen? That he is the way, the truth, the life. And we think about all these things, and we think about all these third world countries and the religions that are based in witch doctors and animism. And how in the world could they add God to their list of other gods? I look around our society today. How many, even within our own churches today, place God on the shelf among all of their other gods? The God of children's sports. The God of money and wealth. The God of what feels right to me in this moment. And you see, God says very clearly in the book of Deuteronomy, he says that he has given us two choices. We can choose to go God's way. And God says that if we choose to go God's way, he brings us life and blessings. Amen? And I would say that we all want life and blessings. But then he also says that before us, that he has set before us this other choice. And this choice is to follow the way of the world. This way leads to death, destruction, and cursing. You see, as I preach the gospel over all these years, people have always come up to me and said that how could a holy and loving God force anyone to go to hell? God doesn't send anyone to hell. It's a choice. We have to make a choice to choose either under God's blessings or under God's curse. Those are the only two options we have. But we live in a society where people want to live in truth and there are lies. See, the world has made its way into our local church. George Barna and the Barna Group put out a poll 2 or 3 years ago, and I don't know if you're familiar with George Barna, but the poll that he put out is that 75% of the modern American Christian church is lost. And that's not talking about whose names are just on the roll. Those are weekly attenders, people who come in and out of this building, not just this one, but the Christian church nationwide, that 75% of the people that attend have never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I'm in Livingston, Zambia, they believe that they are a Christian nation because Dr. David Livingston came there almost 200 years ago and began to share the gospel. And I walk up to anyone on the street and I ask them this question: are you a Christian? Their response immediately is, yes, I am a Christian. And I follow it up with a second question: tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And they immediately respond with, who is Jesus? You see, what Dr. David Livingston started almost 200 years ago was never followed up with discipleship. And after time, they live in a nation that just said, we are a Christian nation. And they have no true relationship with Jesus Christ. Our country was founded on Christian beliefs and principles. 1776, we begin to celebrate this weekend. That's what it's about, more than just barbecues and more than just going to the lake or the river or doing those things. We celebrate our freedoms, but our number one freedom that we were given was to be a nation that chose to serve God. But we've become a nation that I believe has forgot about the relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that's what it's all about. And the reason I know that is because in the book of Revelations, it begins to say that there are many that will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons? Lord, Lord, didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I attend Sunday school every Sunday morning? Didn't I attend church service? Didn't I volunteer and do these things? And the Bible says that one of the most horrific phrases, I think, that could be, depart from me, ye that did all of this work for iniquity. You wasted your time. I never knew you. See, God created us to be in a relationship with Him. That's all that it was about. Jesus designed us for perfect relationship. To walk hand in hand with us in the garden, but again, choice got in the way. We chose the way of unrighteousness. So you see, for us, we have to make a conscious effort to head God's way. It's not something that you just slip into. We have to choose to head God's direction. So how do we know what God's direction is? We begin to see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. One of the first things that we have to do is to put off the former self. We allow the old person that was within us to die. The way I spoke before, the way I acted before, the things that I did in the past no longer exist. We read in the scripture in the New Testament where it says that I must take up my cross daily. Now for us, the cross has become a symbol of hope, amen? It's become a symbol of power over death. Many people wear them on their clothing. We have them hanging in our churches. We have them embroidered on the front of our Bibles. But you see, when this was written, the cross was a symbol of death. It was a one-way trip. That when you said, I was picking up my cross, there was no return. People did not come back from the cross. There's one that did. And Jesus said that that same power and authority that I have within me, I'm giving to you, that you're going to do greater things than I ever done. But we have forgotten the picture of what it is that the cross has provided for us. That this old person is no longer exists. They are no longer there. It's a conscious effort to walk this straight and narrow path. We read in the scripture that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to salvation. You see, God has called us. I said at the beginning that He has called us to be strangers and aliens. We need to look different. We need to speak different. We need to behave different. When I walk around the cities and the countryside in Zambia, I look different. I am very noticeable, not just because I'm 6'2" and 300 pounds in a society of people that are less than 5' and 100 pounds. There's something different. It's not just the color of my skin. When I walk through the villages, one of the funniest things that I encounter is the children will come up behind me and they'll lick me. It's because they've never seen a white man in many of these villages, and they think I'm painted. And so they're trying to get this paint off of me to see what's underneath because they know something is different. But then once we get beyond the external, they begin to see things that are different. They begin to see, the question always comes about, why would you leave America where everyone is a millionaire and you have plenty of food? Because that's what they believe. Why would you come to our nation where people are dying every day? And I get to open up this word of God and says, because I have to remove the things that I want, my idols that I have placed, because Jesus has called me to love you. Now here's the great thing. Amen. We have 72 different venomous snakes just in the country of Zambia. God's not going to call every one of you to Africa. But He has called you to where you are at today. You are on the greatest missions field that you could ever embark on because that is where God has placed you. You are where you are at for a purpose and for a reason, to share the love of Jesus Christ with your circle of influence, your oikos, the people that you run into on a daily basis. That's part of that choosing to head God's way. You see, salvation is once and for all. It's eternal. It's instantaneous. Amen? That when we accept Jesus Christ into our life, we receive salvation. He becomes our Savior. But here's the scary part that so many believers want to fail to do. You see, I said 75% of the modern church don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's because the other 25% aren't doing what God called them to do. See, salvation is instant. It's eternal. No one can take it from you. You couldn't give it back even if you wanted, because you're safe in the hands of Jesus Christ and God the Father. You see, the relationship with Jesus Christ, that discipleship, takes a lifetime, and it will cost you everything. See, we're okay with making Jesus the Savior of our life, but when it comes to lordship, to making Jesus the Lord of our life, that's where we falter. Well, God, if I stand up for my beliefs, I'm going to be ridiculed. The term they use in society today is they're going to cancel you. I'm not even sure where that came from. Murder. There are people in this world today that will choose to cancel me or begin to ridicule me. If I stand in here in this pulpit and I claim any of these other things that are contrary to the Word of God are sin, even believers, even people who attend churches will stand up against me. They will stand up against you. And for some reason, we want to shy away from that. But God says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Count it as a blessing. Because if you're not being persecuted in your life, are you truly living for Jesus Christ? I had a friend in Romania that served prison term for 26 years for sharing the gospel under communism. And when this gentleman was released from prison, he began to go around to all these other pastors that were in the area of Romania. And he began to ask them, he would say, "Where did you go to prison at? How long were you in jail?" And many of them had to say, "We were never arrested. We were never locked up." Then were you living for Jesus Christ? Because if you were doing what God called you to do, you would have been standing alongside of me in prison. Now, I'm not saying that you guys are all going to be locked up. We live in the greatest nation in this entire world, with the ability to speak, the ability to pray publicly, the ability to share the Word of God freely, but with, instead of choosing to live in this freedom of Christ and this life and these blessings that only God can grant us, we begin to migrate over to this place of the world. We begin to remain silent in the face of evil. My daddy taught me for years that if you stand silent when someone is doing something wrong, you are just as guilty as they are. In fact, many years ago, there was a quote that was said, that all it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And we begin to remain in this side, correct me and push me back to where I need to be. But if I begin to live in this area and I die, and I have truly accepted Jesus Christ, I'm still going to go to heaven, amen? I'm not going to receive the blessings. I'm not going to receive the rewards in heaven that God could have given me. I still have my salvation because it's eternal. But you see, what happens is there are other people that begin to watch me. My children that begin to follow me into this life of the world, my family member, my coworkers, the people that I run into on a daily basis that are lost and dying and going to a literal hell. And I am not making a difference, and I die, and I go to heaven, and they are lost in their sin for all eternity. See, God called us to be in the world, to live under His blessings and under His righteousness. But it's about running into this world and grabbing those up that are lost, that are blind, that cannot see the truth, and dragging them, showing them through the love of Jesus Christ. And we can't forcefully save people. I wish we could. I wish I had the ability to save people. No, I don't, because there are probably some people that I would choose not to, because I'm human. But the awesome thing is Jesus says that He called us to be salt and light. That when the light of Jesus Christ shines upon me and shines through me into this dark and dying world, their sin is exposed. They begin to see what it is that they are being saved from. See, God calls us to lead people to a place of repentance, which is a word that we don't use that often. You see, repentance means to change our mind about who God is in our life. It's also an old military term that they could use. The generals on the battlefield would stand, see the entire battlefield. They could see who was advancing. They could see the destruction. And if they saw that their men were about to be overrun, the generals from the top of the mountainside could yell out the word, "Repent," which meant to stop whatever you were doing and turn 180 degrees and go the opposite direction. See, that's what Jesus calls us to do, to walk into this lost and dying world and teach them what it is to repent, to take up that cross, to die to themselves and help them to choose God's way. My son, me and my wife have been married. She was 18 and I was 20 when we first got married. We had our first son. She was 19 and I was 21. We thought we knew everything. We were some of the dumbest parents. We were babies having babies. My oldest son was born. He started eating baby food. And he didn't like peas or green beans or anything like that. So we fed him squash. And we fed him sweet potatoes. And we fed him carrots. And just the things that he liked. Well, it wasn't very long. A couple weeks or so, my wife screamed out from the nursery that there was something wrong with our son. So I come running in there, and our son is bright orange. We had a Oompa Loompa, if you've ever watched Willy Wonka. And we're scared to death. We're babies. So my wife immediately gets on the phone and calls her mom and explains what's going on, and her mom just kind of laughs at her. So she hangs up, and she calls my mom, and my mom begins to laugh. And I'm getting things ready because we're taking our son to the emergency room because something is wrong with him. He's turned orange. And through the laughter, my mom is able to tell my wife or ask her the question, what have you been feeding him? Well, I've been feeding him carrots and I've been feeding him squash and I've been feeding him sweet potatoes. And she said, hon, that's the beta carotene that's in there. Everything that he absorbed is now coming out through his skin. That's why he's orange. There's nothing wrong with him. It's okay. Just feed him something else and he'll be all right. You see, what it is that we absorb in this life, whether it's the Word of God or the holiness that God bestows upon us, it can't help but reflect out of us. See, Christ called us to reflect Him and to reflect His ways. That when I begin to absorb the Word of God, when I begin to... The Bible says that these words I have hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against God. We begin to see all of these different ways, but you see what happens as we begin to migrate to choose to live in the world's way, we absorb the way of the world. The things that we absorb in this world, from the television programs to the language and the things that we listen to, the areas that we hang out, those are what's reflected. In the book of Psalms, we begin to see the different things that Christ tells us. Psalms chapter 119, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments. I rejoice in the way of the testimonies. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word. See, God calls us to live a life of righteousness. Now, we know His word in the New Testament says there's none righteous, no, not one. Amen? We know that the wages for our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so God, in His mercy and His judgment and His justness, I know that there is nothing that you can do that can separate yourself from the sin that has stained your life. So I'm willing to send my son to earth to impart his righteousness, to cover you with his blood, so that when the Father sees you, it's not your righteousness. It's not the sin that is permeating from you. You see, receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in Psalms 119, 116, as you can see on the screen, it says, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. You see, it's about this choice to head God's direction. And I'm not talking about living a perfect life. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I live a life of perfection. I mess up each and every day, many times on some days. Driving in yesterday across those 10 lanes coming into St. Louis, I can't tell you that I was feeling really holy in some areas. But God, in His mercies, in His wisdom, has said that if you will choose my way, then I will bless you. Why in the world would I want to live in this place of death and destruction. We live in a world where we hear lies nonstop all day long. You turn on the news, you hear lies. You look on Facebook or any other social media, you see lies. And we begin to absorb those things, and those are the things that we begin to reflect. I find myself so many times praying, God, come back quick. I am ready for God's return. Amen? But then I begin to remember my family members that have never accepted Jesus Christ. I begin to remember the 18.38 million people in Zambia where the majority of them have never heard the message of Jesus Christ. I'd say if I looked around this community, the majority of this community are lost and dying and going to hell. And so my prayer needs to change. If God, allow me to reflect your message to this lost and dying world. Yeah, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to see family. I'm ready to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. I'm ready to sing praises and worship to Him in person. But until then, I want to run the race. I want to reflect the word of Jesus Christ. I want to be who it is that God has called me to be. I'm going to share one story with you. I love history. In fact, before I became a pastor, I was setting off. I wanted to be a history professor at one of the universities. So I spent many, many hours and years studying history and anthropology and sociology and all of these things about the world. And I love those things. And one of the stories that I hung on to was a gentleman by the name of Alexander the Great. This gentleman conquered most of the known world during his lifetime. He was a great military tactician. In fact, some of his tactics are still studied in West Point in the Naval Academy and in the Air Force Academy today because of his great military prowess. And one of the stories attributed to him, and I don't know whether it's true or not because there's lots of fables and tales that are told over time, but we do know that he was a man that was very harsh. He did not allow retreat or surrender. If you retreated in battle, there was one recourse. His own generals would put you to death. You did not surrender, you do not retreat. And during one of these great battles, there was a young man about 13 or 14 years old who had retreated. And the general, not wanting to put this young boy to death, brought him into the tent of Alexander the Great and threw him at the feet of this great king and general. And something in the eyes of that young man must have caught Alexander the Great's attention because he began to share with him because he should have put him to death. He deserved death. Everything that he had done broke the laws. And Alexander the Great came down and sat beside the young man and began to share with him what it meant to be a man, what it meant to be a great soldier. Here are the reasons why we don't retreat. And he spent much time pouring this wisdom that Alexander the Great had. He bestowed upon this young man, and he got up and he said, "Young man, I will not take your life today, but live differently." And as Alexander got up and began to go back to his seat at the head of this tent that they had set up, he turned around and he said, "By the way, young man, what is your name?" And the young man said, "My name is Alexander, sir." And Alexander the Great turned around quickly with fury in his eyes and said, "Tell me again, young man, what is your name?" He said, "Sir, my name is Alexander." And Alexander the Great rushed the young boy and backhanded him and knocked him to the ground and said, "Tell me again, what is it that you call yourself?" He said, "Sir, my name is Alexander." And Alexander the Great pointed his finger in his face and said, "You bear the name of the great king of this nation. Live like it." We call ourselves Christians. To be Christ-like, we bear the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is none greater. There is none higher. There is no one that deserves or is worthy of worship but Him. And we blaspheme the name of our Savior and our Lord when we live lives by choosing not to go the way that God has called us to go because of our fear. My urge to you is the same that Alexander the Great gave to this young man. Live like it. Do your neighbors know that you're a believer? Has your family members heard you share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here's my challenge for you today and my prayer, that God would place one person in your path this week that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. And then prayer for courage. If you're here this morning and you've never entered into this same relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, maybe you've attended this church for many, many years, but you have never entered into this relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to tell you today that it is the best and the simplest thing that you can do. The Bible says that if you put your faith and trust within Him, that He will grant you eternal life. And I know this pastor would love nothing more than to share this way with you. So God, thank You today for Your giving us the ability to hear Your message. God, I pray that if someone in here today has never entered into that relationship, that You would stir their heart, that You'd send Your Holy Spirit to lead them into this path of salvation. And God, for those of us in here that have truly entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that You stir a fire within our souls, God, that we can't help but reflect the image of Your Son. That others look at us and they wonder what is different about that person, so that we can share this message of hope. It's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen.